ocean, vast, endless. I'd crossed it before with Nalando, but this time it felt somehow different. Bigger, I guess. And the water giant that we glided behind, the thing, it looked like a tsunami with a head, arms, and legs. The strides it took were as long as city blocks, but inside it, controlling its every movement, was a girl about the size of an 8-year-old. I imagined in that moment that Funza was smiling ear to ear. Naoi hadn't questioned her at all when she showed up, and neither O or myself could figure out why. Naoi was up ahead of us, me and O gliding behind, and by the way, I thought this was really weird. I noticed that when she flew with those amazing golden wings, she almost never flapped them, you know, like a bird. I guess she was more like an eagle or a hawk, like a bird of prey, maybe. Anyway, we were both asking her what she was thinking. Funza had betrayed her over and over again, but this time she trusted her? My guess was that she'd gotten tired of us questioning her about this and decided to fly up ahead to have some peace and quiet. I tried reaching out to her telepathically, but she ignored me and somehow started blocking me. At one point, I'd shut my eyes, and when I focused on trying to listen to her thoughts, I'd see a brick wall and I couldn't hear anything. We hadn't always had this telepathic connection, but even back then, before we had this, I could sense what she was thinking. That was gone at this point. I didn't feel any connection to her at all, and I couldn't figure out why. The sky was endless blue, and as the sun began to set, the horizon set ablaze. The question was simple. Where exactly was Funza taking us? I felt a chill, partly from the ocean air, but it was mostly about the thought of the other soldiers. The tribe had recaptured many of them, and I assumed they were back in the living prison, but there were still soldiers around Seth that were powerful, and they were protecting him. If Funza was taking us to a fight, would we be able to win? Naoi hadn't gotten much sleep, and I knew she was still exhausted. O was tired too, and me, well, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm no warrior. It had been my dream to be one since I could remember. But dreaming of something isn't the same as living it. So, bottom line, if we have to go through soldiers to get to Seth and put him away for good, I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to do that. And you know, I couldn't stand this feeling like we could lose. I mean, we were the good guys, right? And good guys always win. That's what the comic books and movies I'd seen told me. But that wasn't real life. Sometimes in real life, well, the good guys lose. The wind was picking up. It was gradual at first, happened in bursts, but then it started getting more steady. And the crystal clear sky that had turned dark and was filled with stars wasn't all that clear anymore. Clouds had snuck in, and soon enough, the stars weren't visible anymore. And as the wind grew stronger, the waves swelled. This didn't seem to slow Funza down, though. Not one bit. The water giant that she willed just kept walking. If anything, the only change was that the giant seemed to have, well, grown. In the distance, lightning flickered. But I was squinting at this point because it was starting to pour. It was really hard to see. I was actually starting to lose track of Naoi. The only thing visible through the thick clouds and pouring rain were her golden wings, but even their glow was beginning to fade. I could still see O, and he was doing the very thing I was thinking at that moment. He was accelerating to catch up with Naoi. I did the same, but a bolt of lightning suddenly cut us off, and Naoi was gone. I yelled her name as loud as I could, but over the storm, there was no way she'd hear me. I could have been screaming directly into her ear, and she wouldn't have heard over all that noise. I saw O point to his face, and this meant that I needed to cover it completely with the armor so I could search using instinct. I was never really completely confident with this. There were times when it worked beautifully, of course, but still. Anyway, it seemed like the smartest thing to do in that moment, so I did. But the moment my eyes were covered, the deafening sounds of the storm ended. It was so sudden that I thought it had something to do with me raising the armor over my head, but then I noticed that O had stopped and was hovering with his armor lowered from his face. I stopped and lowered mine, and what I saw was really, really strange. The storm was still raging around us, but we'd entered some kind of, clearing. Like a pocket of space that was calm and shielded us from the storm. Funza was gone. Then I felt a tiny hand squeeze my shoulder. I turned and saw Naoi hovering beside me. Oh, relief. O was next to her, and we were all looking around. What happened? Was this going to be where the battle would happen? I didn't see any soldiers, and honestly, I just couldn't get over how odd it was to have the storm raging around us but not hear a sound. It was like someone had turned the volume down to zero or something. Then a face appeared. It seemed to peek out of the gray as if the gray itself were a curtain, and it was dark brown, this face, with high cheekbones and cold eyes. There was an aura around it. I guess that's what I'd call it. It was golden like Naoi's wings, and it was like the sun was somehow behind that face. Then a second face appeared beside it. This face was smaller, more childlike, with lighter skin. And I noticed that with each breath that this childlike being took, there was a powerful burst of wind separate from the storm. Beside that face, a beak broke through the mist. A beak. It was weird. Then I saw its eyes, which glowed a brilliant white, and I knew who this was. The head of a falcon and the body of a man. Horus, god of the sky, protector of kings, healer. Well, those are the things I remember reading about in Mr. Abernathy's class when we studied Egyptian mythology. So the other two must have been gods as well. O looked in awe, motioned toward the one with the glowing aura, and said, Ra, the sun god. He thought he'd never ever see Ra in person. I mean, he said, pausing, that god never shows his face, ever. As O spoke, the faces of other gods appeared, including Osiris, O's dad. O was just starting to talk about Shu, god of air and wind, the one with the baby face, when he stopped and stared at the face of his father. We hadn't actually seen Osiris's face since he'd shown up at school to ask us to help him find O. Osiris, though, didn't look at O, or any of us, actually. Not directly, anyway. In the end, there were eight faces, and the only one I knew was Osiris. Then I started wondering why Wusa wasn't there for whatever this was, and that honestly scared me. Ra spoke, and his voice was actually soft, gentle. I remember this lady. Name was Shauna, I think, and Shauna was good friends with my mom. She was a therapist. Talked to people about their problems, and Ra had the same kind of voice that therapist did. Really calm, to the point that it kinda, could drive you crazy. He looked the three of us over, and his eyes, golden brown with a tinge of sunlight coming through, made me feel physically warm, despite the shadow armor. You must be curious about all this, he said, looking around at the storm. But first, I must apologize. We threw this together on short notice, and this was the only place we were able to agree on. We are here to make a proposal brought to us by our brother, Seth. Nawi didn't show it in her expression, but I could feel the fury gathering inside her. Another proposal from Seth? Then Nawi spoke, right as Ra was getting ready to continue. Where is he? She asked, cutting him off, and it didn't seem to matter that Ra was Ra or that these were gods. The only thing that mattered was putting Seth right back where he belonged. You're upset, Ra said in that annoyingly calm voice. We understand. You understand nothing, Nawi said, cutting the god off again. O looked toward his dad, and he still wasn't making eye contact with him or us. We're not here to argue with you, Nawi. We only want peace. And our brother, the god of war, has given us an opportunity to achieve it. Nawi shook her head, and I wondered if she was going to take Ra's head off. Her insides were raging like that storm surrounding us. Will you listen? Ra asked, and after glancing at me and O, she nodded. Honestly, I don't think she would have agreed to anything if we hadn't been there. I suspect she was worried about what might happen if she did get into it with Ra or any of the other gods that had shown up. Then I looked at Osiris again, and it was like, really? Seth kidnapped your son. You should be standing with us, not them. Seth is tired of fighting, Ra said. Tired of war. He proposes that you share your power of creation with him, and he will go out and create his own universe. And what? Leave this universe alone? Nawi asked with a slight grin. A universe where he could expand his army and return to conquer this one? For Seth, it was never about creation. It was always about control. That wasn't something I truly realized back then, but in the years that followed, after thinking about it, truly thinking about it, it was the only thing that made sense. Then Nawi shut her eyes, and even though she spoke with a calm, even voice, I could hear the fury in each word. They're afraid of you, but I'm not. Yes, I know you can hear me, Seth. And the gods, who I thought would immediately cut her off and say something about her being some puny mortal or something, didn't say a word. Was that what this was all about? Fear? They were gods, all powerful. Couldn't they have just ganged up on Seth? Then I thought about something I guess I'd never really thought about before. The only being to ever have stood up to Seth was Wusa. She was the one that created the Lightning Tribe to battle his soldiers in the First Great War. She fought at our side against him. But other than Osiris, where were the others? Giving Seth what he wanted so that he'd go away would work out perfectly for them. They wouldn't have to worry about their dear brother coming after them, coming after their power. Then O's father, Osiris, suddenly said, "You're right, Nawi. We are very much afraid of our brother and what he's capable of. If we can end this peacefully, it would be best for everyone." "What's best," Nawi said, "is to tell me where he is." None of the gods spoke. Then Nawi finally said, "You want this power?" She closed her eyes, and I thought, no, she's not really going to do this. She can't. And when nothing happened, I was relieved, but I thought, I must be missing something. Because literally, there was nothing that I could see. And she held out her hand, fingers extended, as if she were holding it. But I swear, she wasn't holding anything. But when I looked at the gods, they were all focused on her hand. A few looked like they were seeing something miraculous. Something that they'd never seen before. I looked at O, who was in awe. I asked him, you see it? Of course, he said. Then I looked closer, and the space above Nawi's palm was, well, it was somehow warped. It was like someone had taken space and formed it into a sphere about the size of a pinball? Maybe slightly bigger. To be clear, it was transparent, but I could see that, you know, pinball shape. So this was it? This was the power of creation? It was invisible. Then Naoi said, "We'll fight. No soldiers or warriors. Just you and me, Seth. If you win, it's yours. If I win, you go back to prison forever." Ross said, "You will give it willingly?" Naoi said, "Yeah." And there was this loud crack of thunder. That's when I knew that this was real. Then I saw Seth emerge from the storm and walk out onto the water. Me, Naoi, and O descended. Naoi separated herself from me and O, focused, Aja raised and blazing, as brilliant as the sun and the god of war. If he was truly wounded, I couldn't see it. He was as calm as the waters he stood on. But then again, he was a god, and wounds might not be visible in the same way they were to humans. He raised what appeared to be a scepter, and the tip wasn't solid. It was obscured with a gray cloud and looked like a tiny storm system. The rest of it was pitch black and vibrating. The patch of calm waters beneath him swelled into waves which crashed into each other, spraying high into the air. Instinctively, I edged toward Naoi's side. Without taking her eyes off Seth, she motioned with her hand for me to stop. Then I heard her voice in my head, and she said, "No." And I knew this was a fight she'd have to do alone. And honestly, what was I thinking? I would have just gotten in the way. Then I heard another voice, and it said two words, "Be ready." It was definitely Osiris, and I responded, "Ready for what?" I turned toward O, and he gave me a nod. This meant that he heard his father's voice as well. But again, I whispered, "Ready for what?" And in that moment, Naoi and Seth rushed toward each other, weapons raised, and in a blink of an eye, those weapons struck each other, tumbling. The air dizzy, felt like I was going to throw up, and I stopped, everything spinning. Shook my head. Naoi and the gods were gone. The explosion had thrown me, I don't know how far, but the storm was still raging, still brutal. And the first thing I saw when I got my bearings was a cruise ship, and it was literally on its side and sinking. I didn't even think, shot toward the ship and saw lifeboats and people in the water. I scooped the ones up that were flailing like they were going to drown, and I quickly set them in the lifeboat. And after I'd done this several times, I flew toward the ship to see if there were others. O suddenly swooped in beside me. "Where were we?" He said he wasn't sure, but he sensed through his armor that this wasn't the only craziness happening. The world had been knocked out of balance, and as he explained it, it all had to do with the battle that was happening between Naoi and Seth. Then he asked me if I could still feel her. Was she still alive? And I said, yes, I could. Working together, we grabbed people off the ship and saved as many as we could see. And it was weird because nobody was freaking out, you know, about the shadow armor or anything. The shock of what was happening seemed to have knocked the fear right out of them, and they were just glad to be rescued. I figured that later on, when it finally sunk in that shadows were rescuing them, they'd probably scream or something. Naoi, thank God, she was winning. I couldn't see the whole battle, but I could see, like, Naoi's staff swinging Aja. I could see lightning. I could see all of these things. She was moving so fast. I'd never seen her move that fast before. And, well, I told O this, and he said, the world needs us. Let the armor guide you. It will take you to where you're needed. And he broke away and disappeared. Let it guide me. I wasn't sure at first what that meant, but I did know that if the world was out of balance, there were probably natural disasters happening everywhere. At one point, I was just hovering, trying to figure out what he meant exactly. Then I just let go. And suddenly, I was moving as fast as I'd ever moved. Cities and oceans were whipping past. So much happened. For days, I rescued people trapped in their homes from earthquakes in places like Japan and in California. I even saw Leia, but it was literally a split second. She looked up as I blew by her house and I gave her a little wave. The battle between Seth and Naoi had gotten brutal. At one point, Seth was winning. He knocked her into the ocean and had dived down to finish her. And at the same time, I was pulling a little girl and her doll from the rubble of a house scattered by a tornado. Once the girl and her doll were safe, I thought, I could focus on getting back to Naoi. She needed me. I had to get back to her. I shot into the air, and the moment I focused my thoughts, I was accelerating toward Naoi, and within seconds, I was crossing over that familiar ocean, the ocean that we had crossed over to get to the gods. Then I stopped. God, it was so sudden. The connection was lost. I couldn't feel Naoi. Then, in the distance, I saw Funza's water giant, and I thought, well, if she hurt my Naoi, I flew up to the water giant, and it suddenly collapsed, and all that was left was Funza and the god of war, but he didn't look like a god anymore. She was holding him like an infant. He looked thin, like skin and bones, just like he did when he was in the prison, just the way that Naoi had described it. They were just floating there, Seth and Funza, and Funza was supporting him, and Seth, he wasn't moving. Suddenly, floating beside me was Wusa. The first question I asked, of course, was, where was Naoi? And Wusa did something that I couldn't believe what she'd done. She just shook her head. I couldn't even say the word. Could Naoi be? And then Wusa said, no, my daughter is alive. Okay, I thought. So then, where was she? And Wusa said, I don't know. But I didn't understand. What did she mean she didn't know? That didn't make sense. She was the goddess of creation. She had to know. But Wusa wasn't able to explain it. In the days that followed, I saw O, who came to visit me in my room, and we spent all night talking about it. During the battle, Naoi had somehow disappeared, and nobody knew where she went. Asha the Seeker had begun searching. She'd searched for days, and Anaya, the new leader of the Lightning Tribe, in fact, had ordered all the Seekers to search. But they weren't the only ones searching. Safina, the jailer who'd finally captured Auk after he tried to come to Seth's aid, was looking as well. The old consciousness of the prison that had been given human form watched over the prison when Safina was gone. As for myself and O, we continued to search on our own, but nothing. I'll never give up. I mean, my girlfriend Leia is constantly telling me that, well, I need to let her go, but I just can't. So please, if you see my Naoi, Do me a favor. Tell her that I love her and I miss her every single day. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed Nali of the Lightning Tribe, I invite you to Storyville, a place where you can listen to Chronicles of Detective Bender, The Super Secret Adventures of George, and Monsters, all coming soon to the channel. I'll also be adding a visual element to Nali that I'm sure you'll enjoy. Stay tuned.